All right, take your Bibles with me and open to Acts 13. Acts 13. I'm hoping that through this we'll get our acts together. Acts 13, and we're going to read verse 22. When you find it, let's stand up in reverence to God's word, please. Acts 13. And we're going to be reading verse 22. The Bible says, "And when he was removed, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Lord, I pray that you would use your word to stir our hearts this morning, Lord. Lord, that today would not be just another day spent at church, but that your word would work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Can everybody hear me okay? I feel not very loud. You can't hear me? All right, because then I'll start preaching like this, and I'll get a kink in my neck. How many of you like coffee? Okay. How many of you like hunting? Couple, okay. How many of you like soccer? Oh, a good bit. So I can say here that I have a couple people after mine own heart. We've all heard that expression, oh, that's a person after my own heart, because he does what I like to do, or he likes what I like. But this morning, I'd like to ask us this question. Are you a person after God's heart? Here, Paul is speaking, and he draws attention to David. And the other day I was reading this, and I was thinking, what does it mean to be a person after God's own heart? Well, for that, we'll need to take a look, a sneak peek at David's life, and see, how was David a man after God's own heart? If you look at his negative side, there were so many bad things he did. He murdered. Now, some people take this passage to excuse sin. We're not doing that. But David was a murderer, he was an adulterer, he sinned many times against God, yet we find the Bible saying that David was a man after God's own heart. So this morning, with the time we have, I'd like to see, why was David a man after God's own heart? Because he did what God's will was. And when we're going to see that, but first, and my message is not alliterated, and so bear with me. But first of all, David had a single-minded heart. What do you mean? Open with me to Psalm. Somebody please read Psalm 27:4. Psalm 27:4, and then somebody else read Psalm 86:11-13. He was single-minded. Go ahead, Psalm 27:4. Notice David's desire. Look, one thing have I desired. I want to be close to God. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want God to be close to me. If we want to be people after God's own heart, we need to desire God. Psalm 86:11-13, somebody please. Could you see David's heart Lord, I want to be in your house. I want to be close to you. Lord, I want to walk in your way. Lord, I want to be close to you. Is that your desire this morning? Or let me make it personal. Is that my desire this morning? Psalm 119. Well, we don't really know if David wrote Psalm 119, but Psalm 119, the Bible says, with my whole heart, I think it was David because of the way he wrote it. But anyways, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. David was a man after God's own heart because he was focused on God. He wanted to be close to God. Church, are we men and women after God's own heart? Do we desire the Lord, the things of the Lord? Do we desire to walk in His way? Do we seek Him with our whole heart? Typically on Mondays, if I'm able to, I like playing soccer. And once in a while, we'll divide the teams, and there's some young men that go to one team or another, and they just drive me crazy. Because they play like they don't want to be there. And it's really frustrating. They don't play with their whole hearts. I'm not very good, but when I play for the win. You know, many times we're the same way with God. We're playing the Christian game. We're walking the Christian walk, but our heart's not in it. Our heart's chasing after things. David was a man after God's own heart because he was single-minded. He wanted God. God was his everything. Again, he wasn't a man after God's own heart because he was perfect, but because he was single-minded. Number two, David had a sensitive heart. What does that mean? Sometimes we can get so desensitized with life. We'll invert or put our affections on things that really we shouldn't be loving instead of loving what God loves. I know that sometimes the other day I was praying, Lord, would you help me be sensitive again? Notice, somebody please read Psalm 139, 23 and 24. And then somebody else, Psalm 66, 18. And then somebody else, Psalm 51, 10. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, somebody please. Notice, I wonder what it was like to see David writing this. I think he was passionate about it. Lord, search me. Lord, is there anything that's keeping me desensitized? Lord, is there any sin in my life that is keeping you from working through me? David had a sensitive heart. Psalm 66, 18, somebody please read. Psalm 51, 10. It's a dangerous place to be when we're not sensitive to sin. I've been there. Where I know I've sinned, but I just go on with my life. The difference, David was a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, but he was sensitive. He was constantly saying, Lord, is there something in my life I need to change? Lord, is there something that is callousing me for my relationship with you? Psalm 51 was written, obviously, you all know this, but after he committed the sin with Bathsheba, and he was crying to God, "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Sometimes we can be desensitized by sin. It's a dangerous place to be when we sin and it doesn't bother us. David, though he was a sinner, though he was full of flaws, was sensitive. Are you sensitive this morning? We're covering sin. It just desensitizes. We'll excuse us. Oh, it's always somebody else's fault. Oh, I lusted because that person dressed immodestly. Oh, I did this because of that. Oh, I got mad because you looked at me the wrong way. But a sensitive heart recognizes, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:17. David, through his intimacy with God, he knew that a broken and contrite heart God wouldn't despise. Do you and I have a broken heart over sin? Over our flaws, our failures? Or are we desensitized? That word contrite, this is from the International Bible Encyclopedia, it says, a contrite heart is one which the natural pride and self-sufficiency have been completely humbled by consciousness of guilt. Sometimes I find myself, wait, I sin and I'm going on with my life. That's not being a man after God's own heart. So what was the first point? David had a what heart? Oh, wow, y'all are awake. A single-minded heart. Number two, he had a what? I didn't hear you. What? There you go. Sensitive. Do we have a sensitive heart? And then thirdly, with time, apathy and sin makes us desensitized toward the very sin we're committing. May God give us sensitive hearts. You see, the more we walk with the Lord, the more closer we get to Him. A victorious life is not necessarily a life that you never sin, but it's a life that you're so close to God that when you do sin, you confess that sin and you make effort to not live and repeat those sins. That's repentance. Thirdly, this morning, David had a thirsting heart. In Portuguese, thirsting starts with S. So to an extent, it was alliterated. But how many of you have ever been thirsty? I remember a couple times ago when I went to where I normally go. And typically, I always take water because one thing you don't want to do is drink polluted water because it will make you sick. And lo and behold, this trip, I did not take enough water, and it was really hot. I had played soccer there, and I was just hot. And they drink water straight from the river, and I was like, if you can do it, I can do it too. Watch this. So I was very thirsty. My mouth was dry, and I went to the faucet, and I drank that water. When 11 p.m. came, it was no bueno. But thirst, what thirst propels us, motivates us to take care of that, right? When you're really thirsty, I can offer you a bar of chocolate. You'll want water. It's interesting how often David compares his desire for God as thirst. Notice with me, Psalm 63. Let me see, somebody who I recognize. You know how to read? Yeah? Okay. No, I'm kidding. I know you do. Could you read, please, Psalm 63, 1? Let me see. Josué, would you read for us? Psalm 19, 14, please. Okay. Yes, and then if you could read, Charlie, if you could read John 7, 37 to 38. We'll start here with, I keep wanting to call you Levi, but it's not. Ethan. Judah. Go ahead, please read Psalm 63, 1, please. David, the context of Psalm 63, David was running for his life from his very son. And notice what he said. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. You know why sometimes we don't feel thirsty for God? Because too many times we're trying to quench our thirst with the pollutions, the polluted waters of the world. Not that that water is necessarily bad for you, but it's not pure water. But David said, look, my soul thirsteth for thee. Do you thirst for God? Again, when I was studying for this message, I realized that I had not been thirsting for God. You see, that's the interesting thing about the Christian life is you can put on drive and just coast. When really, in Brazil, most of the cars are stick shift. When really, God wants us to spiritually put it in the higher gear and go way farther. Do you thirst for God? I know that in my life, sometimes when I don't, it's because I'm trying to quench my thirst other ways. Other than with God. Psalm 19, 14, please. You can see his thirst. Lord, I want the words of my mouth, what I say and what I think, the meditation, what I keep thinking on, be acceptable in your sight. And this is not David here, but in John 7, 37, 38, please, Charlie. Where are you satisfying your thirst? I'm not thirsty. I remember certain times in my life where it's almost like I couldn't wait to wake up and read God's word. I was thirsty for God. Then slowly that thirst started going away. So how do you get thirsty for God? Who ever played any kind of sports? I remember at Ambassador when I used to really like playing volleyball. And some of the games, it was always fun to beat the Patriots. messing with Mr. Hankey there. old age tends to do that to people. But I remember after a game, you sweated and you're really, really thirsty. Why? Because your body exercised and you've burned calories and you want water. You know how we thirst for God? Spiritual exercise. Maybe you might not be thirsty quite yet for God, but if you take the discipline and the exercise to know, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to really try to get close to God. He promises, draw nigh to me and I will, I'm thinking Portuguese here. Draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to learn to get thirsty again for God. David understood that. He said, Lord, my soul thirsteth. He was in the desert hiding from his very son. He said, Lord, my soul thirsts for you. Do we thirst for God? If not, sometimes we're trying to fulfill our thirst with dirty water, the things of the world. And then lastly, oh, my time's up. I'm just going to have to kind of do a short landing on a short airstrip here. He had a submissive heart. Notice, which will do my will. Psalm 48, he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 143, 10, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. David was submitted to God. He wanted to do what God wanted to do. Notice here in closing, Acts 13, Paul said, who will fulfill all my will. Is your desire to do God's will? Sometimes, theoretically, we want to do what God wants us to do, but we'd rather do what we want to do. What a testimony David left. Years later, Paul uses his testimony, how God said, hey, I know David will do what I want him to do. Not because he was perfect, but because he wanted to be a man after God's own heart. In closing, how focused are you on God? Are you single-minded? How sensitive are you to sin? How thirsty are you for God? Are you submitted to God's will? I used to try to negotiate with God. My time's up. But like, Lord, I'll do your will if you let me do what I want to do. That's not submission. So if we want to be men and women of after God's own heart, we need to check our hearts. How are we this morning? Okay, I'm done. Thank you.